Okay, today's daf is daf Nun Aleph, Masechet Brachot. And we're up to the end of the fourth line. Bo minei mirev kista. Misha achal b'shata v'lo birech. Moshi yachzor v'yivorech. Somebody began eating. He realizes in the middle of eating, we were talking about yesterday, if the food is still in his mouth, what he should do, whether he should spit it out, put it over to one side, and so on. How about if he already swallowed it? Now he still has more to eat. But since he started eating without a brocha, should he now make a brocha in the middle of his achila? Amalahu. So, the Chista said to them, what kind of question is that? Misha achal shum v'rechon odev. Just because you ate some garlic and your breath stinks, doesn't make it a mitzvah to eat another garlic and smell up worse. You achal shum acher k'dei she'er v'rechon odev. I mean, you might as well start trying to use a mouthwash, so... At this point, say a brocha. You have more eating to do. And then say that now you were nitche from the entire achila because you ate the first part without a brocha. Omer Ravina says, Ravina, that implies to me that if you're telling me that in a particular achila where a person ate without a brocha, he's not considered to be nitche from the mitzvah of brocha for that food, then afilu gamar sudato yachzor v'yibarech. Even if the Suda was completed and he had nothing more to eat, he should now make a brocha ex post facto, because, you'll say, but that's another issue. I mean, that's a question of whether there's anything for the brocha to be chal on. That's obviously not a problem. The Tanya, because it does say, Taval v'Allah omer ba'aliyato brocha shekichanam tzavetivano al hatefilah. The din is that if someone is being tovel, instead of making a brocha before the tefillah, he makes a bracha liachar tefillah, because since oftentimes you're not allowed to make a bracha before the tefillah, such as Rashi says for a tefillah v'bal keri, or Tosfos says how about for gerut, can't exactly make a bracha asher kedushanu b'sotav v'tzivanu before, so you can only make it afterwards. Okay, so because of that, we were metakein that all tefillot we make the bracha after the tefillah. But, I mean, certainly that proves one thing, says Ravina, that there's not an intrinsic problem of the afterwards. In other words, it's not considered to be something that no longer has a makom chalot. Elamai, our problem is, I mean, as far as I understand it, we were only talking about the question of whether a person is nitche from a thing because he didn't take advantage of it at the time. Since you've already established that he's not nitche, for Haraya, he's able to make a bracha in the middle of the achila, then in the same sense, he should be able to make a bracha liachar achila. Says the Gemara, but that doesn't prove anything. Valohi, hatami kara gavra lo chazi, hachami kara gavra chazi, valohi yitche yitche. A general principle in the concept of dihui is that where something was suitable at one point and was nitche, then there is a concept of dichui. Mashenken dichui mihikara, where the person was never roy for a thing, it's not considered to be nitche because it just simply hasn't come to the point at which he's able to do it. There, indeed, there's no problem of dichui even ex post facto. No, it's fine, you're right. The very fact that it's afterwards is not intrinsically a problem. The question, however, remains whether a dichui total is the equivalent of the dihui that you're claiming since you were nitche from that first piece. Maybe you're not making a bracha on the first piece, and we view this as a new maisa achila. But you can't prove that a person who didn't make a bracha on an entire event, in this case on the entire achila, is not dihui. Because since he could have made the bracha and didn't make the bracha, maybe he is dihui. Mashenken over here, the person who is tovel was never dihui because he was never ra'ui. Tosis points out we have the same issue by Netilat Yadayim. It's become the minhag to make the bracha after Netilat Yadayim, which is strange. I mean, you're supposed to make a bracha before you do a mitzvah. And so the reason this happened is because since very often, for instance, somebody comes out of the bathroom, so he's going to be going to daven, I can't make the bracha before he washes his hands. He's not right to make a bracha, he's not right to say tefillah. And therefore, for all of Netilat Yadayim, even in cases where that's not a problem, the minute became to be Mavarech afterwards. Of course, in order to get around this issue, you should still be Osik in the midst of the Netilah. We say the bracha between the natila and the drying, or as you're drying, which is a chelik of the mitzvah at least, because meikar hadin, of course, natila d'ayin for suda, there's no problem. I mean, you were just mevorech kiddush, obviously you can be mevorech. Turn it up on it.
Like up until now, when they talk about in the mouth, means having eaten nothing. In other words,
in the
previous
days. Oh, yes. The previous days, we hadn't eaten anything.
Not swallowed anything.
Yeah. Now, you know how your mother always said, finish your broccoli? Well, that was only half of the story. The real issue is asparagus. Turn around on an asparagus, and of course this asparagus has nothing to do with what we call asparagus, but it's fine. Nothing to do with asparagus. Asparagus is actually the name of a health drink that they used to. It was an alcoholic health drink, which you started the top of the morning off. Now, I know you can't believe such a thing is possible, but look, the Brits eat this marmalade stuff, right? I mean, it's obviously not Roy Lachio for anyone else. And they think it's healthy and great. So the same, they thought asparagus was the tops. Now, this alcoholic drink was made either on a wine base or on a beer base. Of course, beer in those days could have been made itself made out of date. That date beer was very popular. And what we call beer as well. Kashrut and so on. So now, the different types of asparagus are going to be different in terms of what they do for you and how you're knowing with them. But in any event, the idea of asparagus itself is a health drink in which an alcoholic base is mixed with all types of different vegetables and different spices and so on. And this really gets you moving in the morning. It's like our, you know, coffee in the morning. So when you're drinking up asparagus, you know, it's good for your heart. It's good for your eyes. And for sure, it's good for your tummy. V'haragilbon, if you do this, you have this all the time, it's yafelechol gufo. It's just good for you all over. It leaves you with that tingly, fresh feeling in the morning that you get in Starbucks. However, if you overdrink this and you get drunk from asparagus, oh my God, that's kosher kol gufo, that's bad for your whole system. Now, if it says yafel alev, then the implication is that we're talking about wine-based asparagus. We'll see later because the wine is indeed mentioned as being good for your heart, which of course is a belief nowadays as well. So if you have the wine base, then we've got a problem. Because katani kosher came livnei me'ayim, it's supposed to be good for your tummy. V'atanya lila'at yafa and l'ramat kasha. We're going to see later on that for la'at, now la'at stands for the lave, the ayin, and the tchol. So it's good for your heart, it's good for your eyes, this wine, and it's good for your spleen. But how can you say that kosher came is good for your b'nei me'ayim? If it says beferish at l'ramat, it's not good asparagus based on wine. And ramat stands for your rosh, your me'ayim, and there goes your tummy, and tachtoniot, hopefully you won't have hemorrhoids, but you can sure get it if you drink too much of this stuff. In any event, what happens now that we have an asparagus that's good for two contradictory things? How can it be good both for your heart and for your digestion?
Is this a place where it says daft about this asparagus, or
yeah,
is it from that anything that is good for those things are not good?
No, the daft asparagus. Ki tanya hi bimi yushan. When we said for sure it's good for your digestion, that's a reference to asparagus that is made of wine that has been aged instead of fresh wine. And there, aged wine, indeed, it's very good for your digestion as well. Kiditznan, we see this in a Mishnah, actually. Where it was Nogea, the question of wine, where somebody was coming out of a hangover and he spent the day in the Sherutim, and he swears off wine. Kone yayin chanitoim. Says, clearly, based on my experience, how yayin kashel ivne me'ayim, after what I've gone through today. So then they tell the guy, wait! Omra halomi yushan yafel ivne me'ayim. But old, fine wine is good for your digestion. Vishatak, and he doesn't disagree. So at that point, he's mutter b'myushan. He doesn't even need a petach, because his dad never had been to haser the myushan on himself. Shemamina, that indeed there's a difference between a fresh wine and an older wine. And therefore, the bright thought over here also to be understood. When we said that there's a type of asparagus which is good also for the heart and also for digestion, it's a reference to asparagus built of a base of yayin miyushan. I can tell you that halacha lemaisa, it's been 40 years already, but I tried out this remedy. And Meir Sharim, they had before they had all of these diarrhea medications, they had a sure cure for diarrhea, which was to drink down a bottle of dark red wine, without any, very very dry wine, and it was guaranteed to cure you of what ails you. And it actually worked very, very well. Whether it simply knocked out your entire system for a couple of days, I'm not sure, but it definitely worked. So I mean, they also had the yain that was still living in the yain.
New wine still needs older than 30 days.
Right? How old miyushin in this case? You normally yain, but that's not what it's referring to. It's referring to yain versus no. First of all, it's 40 days, but yeah, this is not talking about yain chodesh megito. It's talking about stam wine versus miyushin wine.
Wouldn't it automatically kick in that he, at that point it's also all one? Because
here we see immediately that his das was clearly only for that.
Did he say the
it's
words?
It's like a t'nai. He said Shayayin. He said that.
It was bad for me.
Yeah.
And then when they say that.
Yeah, so then we understand that it means
all
that
the wine is bad.
All the wine is bad.
You shot his 3-year-old wine?
I don't know in this case whether it has a technical definition. It's like a medical thing. You know? I don't know what they mean by Yushin. Tana Rabbana. Shisha Dvarim Nemro Besparagus. There's 6 things that they say about asparagus. If you're going to be drinking this stuff, you better know how to do it. This is a whole culture. It's very similar to the coffee culture. What do they call the Starbucks culture? You know, everything has to be done exactly.
That's an actual term.
What's that?
Starbucks culture?
I've just coined it. It's no good. You don't like it?
No, I actually do. I mean,
we're going to spread it all over the world with the Dav Yomi. But now you've ruined it. The way you spread these terms is by having no one question them. The moment you question them, it's over. So there's 6 things that are said about how to handle asparagus. First of all, Ein Shotin HaTorah Kishuhu Chai. It's got to be Chai. Now, Rashi has two approaches to this. It's Chai. Chai could mean that it's not Mazuk. But later on, he suggests that Chai, meaning that you put it into the cup of asparagus before mixing it with all the other ingredients, got to be a wine that hasn't been mixed with water. But Rashi also suggests that Chai is used sometimes to mean fresh. Or frischig, as he suggests in French. And it may mean that it's drawn for this purpose, although where Rashi was talking about was a guy by Kosher Brocha, who is probably more a getter of kavod rather than ingredient. So here he just says chai is in terms of not unmixed. It has to be a full cup. And you have to take it in your right hand, and then you drink it while holding it in your left hand. And then there's no talking. There's no talking afterwards. I mean, you've got to give this a little bit of time to settle, you see. Now, you can't make a hefsek in the middle of drinking your asparagus. You take it all down in one shot like a man. You don't give the cup back to anybody else except the waiter who served you. And barak acharav, and then you spit out anything that kind of still left in your mouth. Vein somchimoto ela bimino, and there's no chasers of asparagus unless it's the same thing that it was made out of. You can't chase it down to some other drink. Phew. Now wait a minute. It says ein somchimoto ela bepat. The only chaser you use for asparagus is bread. Look, kasha habechamra. But it depends. If you're talking about wine-based asparagus, then indeed you use bread. If you're talking about the beer-based, that's where it makes sense to talk about what min. In other words, if you're talking about having had date beer asparagus, then you have to drink date beer afterwards for a chaser. And if you had the our beer, you drink our beer, and so on and so forth. Tani Choda. Now, one brisa says that asparagus is good for La'at, but bad for Ramat. And we already said that La'at refers to the lave, the inayim, and the tol, and the Ramat refers to the rosh, the me'ayim, and tachtaniyot. And the other brisa says the opposite, l'ramat yafed, but l'la'at kasheh. And actually, it's not a problem, because we already saw there's two types of asparagus, a wine-based and a beer-based asparagus, and lo kasha, but a chamra, ho, but a shira. Tanichot arok acharav lokev, etanir lorak lorak acharav lokev. This is, you got to keep your asparagus straight, because one brisa says, if you spit out what comes up in your mouth afterwards, you're going to get sick. And the other one says, if you don't spit it out, you're going to get sick. And now what are you going to do? If you're talking about a wine base, don't spit it out. If you're talking about b'dishikra, if you're talking about the beer, if you don't spit out water that comes up in your mouth afterwards, you can get sick from it. Since this is a din in refuah, it is not a pegia in the kavod even of a melech, to do what's necessary for refuah. Omrav Yishmael ben Elisha, Shlosha devarim sakli suriel sar hapnim. There were three things that I was told by this very powerful malach. Yishmael ben Elisha has this tendency of seeing these malachim, kind of thing. So he gets these inside information. If you need inside information, he's the guy to send up to find out what's happening. So anyway, he says that the one thing he told me is never take your bathrobe in the morning from a valet and put it on. That's the end of you. You'll notice in all the movies, that's the beginning of the end. The moment the character puts on his bathrobe and the guy's holding the bathrobe, that's the scene in which he comes to his end. And this is certainly the mocker of men. And al titol yadcha, mimishalon lonatal yadav, don't ever wash your hands from somebody who didn't wash begelvaser. That's terrible. Ve'al tachzir kos asparagus el lemishanat nulecha. Never give back your freshly drunk cup of asparagus unless it's to the guy who handed it to you. Because you got gangs of these really dangerous guys hanging out there. I mean, there's the Takaspit gang of Shadim, and some say it's the Astalganit gang of Malachi Kavallah, and that they're just waiting for you, man, just waiting. And what they say to themselves is always, when are we going to get a guy who gave a cup of asparagus back to the wrong man? He's dead. So there, the mitzapim lo la'adam, l'omri me'matai yavor adam li'idei akad b'dvarim alalo v'yilakei. You don't want those guys on your back. Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, a lot of the Tanoim and Amoraim had some very difficult friends. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was friends with the Malach HaMavis, and not bad to have protection in that department. So Shlosha Dvarim Sakli Malach HaMavis. Malach HaMavis was just sort of talking one day, and he told me over three things. And one of the things he said was also, the bathrobe in the morning is murder. Never take it from a valet and put it on. He said the same thing. Never stand in front of women on their way back from a funeral. I'll tell you, that's when I do my dance. And I'm dancing with my sword. At that point, I've got permission. I carry a license to kill. If you find yourself on the road and these women are coming, what do you do? Well, the first thing is jump out of the way. Now, if there's a river around, get on the other side. If there's some place you could turn off the road, turn off. There's a wall there somewhere, get on the other side. If none of these things are available, turn your face in the other direction. So you keep repeating that pasuk, Yigar Hashem Becha Bocher B'Yerushalayim, Halo Zehud Mutzal Me'esh, until they pass by. At the Kalfi Mine. Omer Rabbi Zer, Omer Rabbi Abu, Varmer Lamasi Satana, Sarah Devarim Ne'emru Bekos Shel Biracha. At the end of this parak of Shlosh Sha'ochu, you know, we've been going basically in the direction from the time of the definition of Zimun through the halakhos of Zimun. And now, part of the Zimun, the final part, is, of course, the bracha ala kos. And that bracha ala kos is included over here, all the dinim of kos shel bracha, which is why the Mishnah concluded, and that seemed to be a non sequitur, the Mishnah concluded with Ein Mevorchem Alo Yayin Elohim and Mozgo and so on. That's all part of this closing. As a matter of fact, it ties in very well with the approach the Gemara had to the problem of why we're repeating the din of Lechalik, since that seems to be innate in the opening of the parak. The way we understand it is that it's talking about that three people already finished the coming. They came from a place where they had already benched. So as we're talking, this final Mishnah is a post-Seuda Mishnah. What do you do now? These sugyas, therefore, are sugyas that have to do with the wine, particularly, of the post-Seuda. And therefore, we finally come around to the relationship of the bracha, koshel bracha, which is a special kos. And in here, we tied in the asparagus and yanim, which are a special usage of yain that have special limitations. And here, there's a special dinim on this kos. We can call this the bracha culture, if you like. The bracha culture has 10 different things that you have to be careful about when you're using a kosher bracha. First of all, it's ta'un hadacha u'shtifana. Each one of these things, the Gemara is going to explain piece by piece. Let's not worry about it yet. It has to be washed out, inside and out. It has to be chai. As I mentioned to you earlier, Rashi has two chais, either chai in the terms of fresh, meaning brought for this purpose, straight from the bottle or the barrel in those days, or a chai unmixed first, then mixed in the coats, which is a minig of many people. Malay, the cup has to be filled. It has to be me'utar, which we'll explain. It has to be me'utaf, which we'll explain. Notlo b'shteyadav, you take it in both hands, and then notno b'yamin, you hold it up with your right hand. Umagbio min akarka tefach, you lift it up from the table level. A tefach v'notene navbo, and you have to be looking at it as you're saying the bracha. V'yeshomrim, some add additionally, af mishagro b'matana l'anshei bito, you should send it after making the bracha, whatever you've got left, send it to your family. Especially your wife, if you're smart, and we'll see what happens when you don't. Om Rabbi Yochanan. Anu ein lanu ela arba'a bilvad. Our Kabbalah is only four out of these. Hadacha, shetifa, chai, umalei. And it's interesting, Tosfos brings Yerushalmi that learns out, it says three things, because it calls the mudach, which includes both shtifa v'hadacha, and bases it on the pasuk of Naftali sevar ratzon umalei birkat Hashem. So sevar, filled, is itur, as we'll see. Ratzon means it's pleasant, so it's mudach. Umalei is malei, and then birkat Hashem. So you have the three things. Merum is in the pasuk of the brach of Naftali. Tana, hadacha means to wash out the cup inside. Shetifa means it should be cleaned on the outside. Omer of Yochan and Kolam of Arech Akos Malay, Notinu Nachala Belimitzarim, Shenema Umalay Birkat Hashem, Yam Vidorom Yarasha. So that here we're talking about the Brocha to Naftali. There's a relationship of the Birkat Hashem being Malay, a reference to Koshel Bracha, and then the Yerusha that follows is Yam Vidorom. So you get also the Yerusha to the west and to the south. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin Omer, Zocher v'Nochel, Shnei Olamot, Olam HaZev, Olam HaBa, and the Girsa, and the Rif, and the Rush, is also here. Shenemar Yam V'Darom Yarasha. There's a Tosfos here that explains that Yarasha is Rash Yud He, and Yud He are the two Olamas. Olam HaZev is Nivra with a He, and Olam HaBa is Nivra with a Yud. So the Remez is in the Yarasha, not in the Yam V'Darom. What is this itur exactly? Well, Rabbi Yehuda Matreya B'Talmidim. Rabbi Yehuda would surround the kos as he made the bracha with his talmidim around it to give it chashivut. Rav Chista matale benatle. Rav Chista would surround it with other letters as it was lifted between other containers of wine. And here the gra changes the way that we have this to chai om rav sheshes ad birkat haaretz. So it's that you keep it chai and you're not mosing it until you get to birkat haaretz. It's a very different meaning. And then we have, here it's not clear at all what it's saying. Ituf, while Rav Papa would be ma'ate, if he would put on his talit, and then he would sit down. Ravasi would just put on a yarmulke, put a sudra resha. And then notlo b'shte yodav, from Rav Chanina bar Papa, mikra, this is marum as an apostik, su yedeichem kodesh, but lift up both hands, which is the minute that somebody hands it to you, you take it in both of your hands, you lift it up with two hands, and there is Yedeichem, and then Baruch Hu Hashem. Notnoli Yamin, on the Pia Barav and Rabbi Yochanan, Tosis points out that it's odd that Rabbi Yochanan should be talking about this, since Rabbi Yochanan said he's only had a Kabbalah on four of these things, and none of the four had to do with the question of whether you have to lift it the Yamin. So apparently, even though he only had the four things that were Nemruah Koshel Brach, he was still Zoyer on some of these other things, and it doesn't mean that he's scrolling necessarily on it. So Rabbi Yochanan points out the Rishonim Shalu, Simol Mahu Shetesayeh Al Yamin. Can you use your left hand to help support your right hand? Now anybody, as Tosis points out, anybody who has tried to say Birkat HaMazon at a Sheva Brach, oh God, it sort of goes on forever. Your hand feels like it's about to fall off. The question is, can you support your hand with your other hand? But he says, look, it happens on Hanukkah too. I mean, you got the Hanukkah and Rosh Chodesh together. By the time you're finished benching, you're ready to keel over. So the question is, can you support your right hand with your left hand on those very difficult days? Richie.
Very difficult days.
Those are difficult days. Omer Ravashi, Hoyal Rishonim Shalom, Iboyal Vloipshitulu. Being as there was clearly a problem among the Rishonim, nobody ever came up with a clear cut sack on this issue. I guess we better be Matnir and try your very best to keep up that Koshel Bracha. Just using your right hand. Do not support it with your left hand.
Why are they making such an issue?
I'm making the issue. I'm just putting a little humor into it. Umag biyom in akarka tefach. Omer avacha b'Rabbi Chanina. No, I mean, the president's question is very much in place. It's clear that the Gemara is making a fuss over something that seems to be only a minhag of the Alman. Shaila means to say we should be machmer. What do you mean, machmer, machmer? I mean, the whole thing is strange. What kind of lotion is this? It's clear that we view, I mean, even the way that we're bringing the rias for the psukim, how to make a bracha, this is very much an inyan of kovet bracha. So that when we're koveya elements on kos and on yayin, we're dealing with things that are truly fundamental. I mean, remember that we view yayin, we saw this earlier, that we view yayin as being nogeya, the chet of Adam Arishon. And therefore all the things that we do with Yayin in terms of Kiddush, Abdullah, Bracha, as being actually part of the Tikkun of the Chet of Adam Risha. This is why there's such an involvement in these other strange inyanim, Malachi, Kabbalah, and so on. Those things here throughout the Sugya is because we take our Yayin and the elements that have to do with it very seriously. So whether it's asparagus in terms of Refuah, or Koshel Bracha in terms of a Tikkun, a spiritual Tikkun, the things are viewed as interconnected over here and have a long, long history going back from Adam to Noah to Nadav Avihu to the creation of the Mishkan to all of the Dinam of Horah. It sounds funny to us that we make such a big deal. Obviously, it's more than a coffee culture kind of thing. Om Revach Rebbe Chanina. Oh, sorry. Magbio min akarka tefach. Om Revach Rebbe Chanina. Mikro. Kos Yeshuot Esa, I lift up the Kos of Yeshua, and B'Shem Hashem Ekrat. In other words, the Kos demands that I should lift it up. noteni navbo, you should be looking at it. That's logistics. I think you're going to look around, then you're going to possibly, no, you won't concentrate on your bracha. Give it to your wife, give it to the family, in order that your wife should, that's what we call a segula. The segula elements of it, there's an element of bracha clearly here again. Taking wine has been the nature of the Eitz Hadaat. It's very important to be meshatev, the wife, because that's the mocker of the kilkel in the first place. The tisborach devito, as we'll see, is in terms of reproduction. And that's very much fundamental reproductive capacity and the curse on reproduction and all of the inyanim of reproduction in Gan Eden make it important to, as we said, you're supposed to betafka say savrai because of the question of the danger of drinking it. Savrai means, do you think this is okay? And the Medrash says everybody's supposed to answer l'chaim, that this time it'll be for life, but originally it was for death. So to be meshate for woman in that is very important. And indeed, there was a disaster happened when some of these Talmid Chachomim, they start getting intellectual about these things. That's very dangerous. Because Ula once came to Rav Nachman's house, and Rav Nachman had a very tough woman, and her name was Yalta, famous toughie. And the Ula comes to Rav Nachman's house in Korech Rifta, and they gave him Birkas HaMazon to Ben, Sibarach Birkas Mezonah, and they gave the kosher bracha to Rav Nachman. Amalei Rav Nachman Lishader Mar Kasa Birkata LeYalta. Rav Nachman says, "Well, don't only give me; you should send to Yalta, the Rebbitzin." Amar Le, so he said to him, "Nah, it's not necessary, not necessary." Hachiyam Rav Yochanan. Actually, the important thing is for you to have the segula. If you have the segula, things will be okay with her also. You don't need to worry about her. Note, it doesn't say pre-bitna. It says pre-bitnecha. So clearly, that's all that needs to be mevurach. Taninami achi. Rabbi Natan omer minayin chain pre-bitna. Shalisha mitbarech elami pri bitno shalish, shenemar uveirach pri bitnecha, pri bitnalo nemar, ela pri bitnecha. Anyway, unfortunately, Yalta was listening into the conversation, and before any conclusion had been made, she was furious. So Adahaki Shama Yalta kama bezira. She got up in outrage. She goes to the wine cellar. Vetavra arva meyadani the chamer. She busts 400 barrels of wine at $600 a shot. Oh my goodness, Richie!
It ruins.
Yalta sues
for Nachman. Yes, Amalei Nachman. Oh God, Nachman says to Ula, at least send her something. Send her another cup. The remainder of the last barrel. So Nishadele Markasa Achrina Shalachla. So he sends her. So he says to her, "Nah, don't worry about it. Kol Hai Navka the Birchasa." Even though it wasn't from the kosher bracha, but this whole bottle has a dinner bracha because we took it from the bottle. It's just as good. Cool off. So the Shalchale. So she sends the message back to him. Mi mahadure mile, she says, from the schnorrers that go around from place to place. You always get a long story. You catch your stories. Smartute, from smartutim, like you, all you get is kill me. All you get is lice. I don't need your wine.
She wasn't happy
at all. Omrabas. You don't talk Rashi, when he's talking about the person who's making the bracha, that's just true about anybody. If you talk in the middle, then if it's while the person is being mevorach, you're not yotzi with the bracha and the kosher bracha, and you shouldn't talk actually at all from the time that he's given the kosher bracha until after the bracha and the kosher bracha. Furthermore, says Ravasi, ein mevorachim al kosher puranut. don't use a cup which is based on disaster. What does that mean? My kosher pranut. Omer daf by Yitzchak, this refers to a kos sheni. It means to an even-numbered kos. Taninami, achya shotek valim, anybody who drinks in pairs, lo yebarech, should not make the bracha, mishum shenemar, hikon likrat eloecha Yisrael. It says, prepare to meet your maker. V'hai lo mitkan, this guy is not well prepared, because he's drinking pranut.
This is a cup that somebody else drank.
Oruch ha-toradinu elihinu melech, olam shakon yemid moroch. This is the Arba Kosos on Pesach, which is a big problem the Gemara wonders about. How do you drink even-numbered cups? Even numbers are considered to be problems.
Over here, yeah. Means you drank a kos, and then you drank another kos?
This was your second kos.
Uh-huh. Well, if you do it for a potato, she set up like kos.
Well, that's the Gemara itself discusses whether the kosher brocha, there's no kilkol on a fourth kos, or the kos that's done shal mitzvah, whatever. It's very nogea, this sugya seems to be a lot of steers. Omre b'yavu v'armele b'masnita tana ha'ochel u'mahalech. Somebody who is walking while eating, so then when he's mivarech, he should mivarech me'umad. He should stand still, but he doesn't have to sit down. If he was standing and eating, then in order to say his birkat hamazon, he should sit down. As a matter of fact, if he was meisiv va'ochel, it's impolite to break, to say the bracha while you're lying and so on. He should be yoshev u'mevarech. And the truth is, be'ochata bekulu, even if you were walking, the time for birkat hamazon, you should sit down. Yoshev u'mevarech.
So we have another Gemara that says you're not supposed to be Malka when you're not good. Another Gemara.
No good.
What's the Gemara that says Malka is?
It's not Berachares. But again, when you've got aliens chasing you, there's not much of a choice. You could even be running and eating. Elu devarim shebein beit shamayu bein beit yilel v'seudah. Now we're going to open up our parak with the entire, all the Mishnayos together, so that we get everything straight. Here we're talking about the various dinim that are nogea v'seudah, which have been matters of controversy between beit shamayu and beit yilel, starting from Kiddush. And we'll keep going from Kiddush and see what happens after that. Beit Shammai omrim, mevarech al hayom, ve'achar kach mevarech al hayayin. According to Beit Shammai, you first say Kiddush, and then you say Borei Pri HaGefen at the end, and you drink your wine. Whereas Beit Hillel omrim, you first say, as we do, you first say Borei Pri HaGefen, and then you talk about Shabbat, Yom Tov, and so on. Achar kach mevarech al hayom. The Gemara is going to go through the complex explanation of each one of these machloket, and so I think we'll best leave it piece by piece. Beit Shammai omrim notlim liyadayin v'achar kach bozgim et hakos. Beit Shammai says you should make sure that your hands are not tmeis, so you do netilat yadayim for the seuda, and then you take your kos shel bracha. Whereas Beit Hillel says no, you first say your kos, and then your notil yadayim. Beit Shammai, now we'll see this has to do with inyanim of tuma v'taira. And the question of whether you're allowed to use a kos, which is tameh, or whether your dayim have to be tohorot, and kedai to wait because it's a little bit complex, not needed to be understood a little on detail in the Mishnah. Beit Shammai omrim, the minig at that time was that they would use a little towel, a personal towel, that was used for drying the hands after netilat yadayim, and then that towel was kept, cloth napkin, was kept throughout the seuda. And it was convenient because it was damp to use it to take any dirt off your fingers and so on. The question is, where did you put this napkin? Did you put it down on the table, or do you put it down on your seat cushion? So Beit Shammai omrim, mikaneach yadav b'mapal minichal ha-shulchan. Beit Hillel omrim, no, don't put it on the shulchan. Put it on the keset. Again, we'll see this has to do with inyanim of tumah v'taira. Questions of whether a kohen may eat truma on the table, is a table allowed to be tameh, is a cushion allowed to be tameh, will the water in the mapa perhaps be mitameh or yadayim if it becomes tameh from the kesset. Again, we'll wait until we see in the Gemara the details. בית שמאי אומרים, מכבדים את הבית ואחר כך נותנים לידיים. When it comes to מים האחרונים, says בית שמאי, get the crumbs off of the floor and then be נותו ידיים. And we'll see this has to do with whether you're allowed to employ a shamash who's an anoretz and won't know to pick up crumbs that are large enough to be mekabel tumah, and kezias will get ruined from your mayim achronim, or whether your shamash has to be a talmud chacham and therefore will know what to do about crumbs on the ground and so on. According to Beit Hillel, being as the shamash of the seuda will certainly not allow anything of a kezias to be on the floor, you do netilat yadayim for mayim achronim, and then you can sweep the floor. Beit Shammai omrim, when it comes to seuda shelishit, and you're going to be making havdalah in part of your seuda, then the seder hadvarim is to take the ner, then the berkat hamazon, then the besamim, and then the berkat havdalah. The Gemara will get into the question of what happened to the wine and where was it. Beit Hillel omrim, first the ner and then the besamim and only then the mazon and the havdalah. And we're going to see that there's a whole other version in the Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and we don't stick with this. Beit Shammai omrim, the brocha on the ner shel havdalah is shebara me'or ha'esh, whereas Beit Hillel omrim, no, it's borei me'orei ha'esh. Ein mevarchim lo ala ner v'lo ala besamim shel akum v'lo ala ner v'lo ala besamim shel meitim. We don't use ner or besamim that had been used for goyim, or that's reference over here to Avodah Zarah, or for a covet of a mate, or for making the room smell better when a mate is in it, where over there it's not really for purposes of its fine odor, but rather as a deodorant. We don't make a brach on besamim that are deodorants. The one of the Akum is talking about where it's the stama party of Akum. Actually, the Rambam puts the Akum's Ner together with the Avodah Zarah issue. Others learn the Ner, we'll see in the Gemara, the Ner of Akum is stama reference to a goyish, a candle that had been lit during the day, and it's a question of Ner Shabbat, which becomes important on Yom HaKippurim as the only issue of the Ner, because otherwise there's no Mitzvah Shabbos segula, as we'll see.
Akum in Avodah Zarah is not synonymous.
No, in other words, the Akum in the first case, the pashtus is, it just means of goyim. And the question is whether there's a kavana for Avodah Zarah in a goyish party when it comes to Besamim. And then the shaila is without the ner, according to the Gemara, it's the ner had been used during Shabbos, and they were doing halacha to the ner. Whereas the Rambam, when he brings the halacha, even Shalakam talks about that the kavana of the ner is the Shem Avodah Zarah. Sometimes he puts together the two cases. Again, we'll talk about it when we get to it in the Gemara. You don't say the bracha on the candle of Havdalah until you were nehneh from that candle, which counts for the minhag of looking at your fingernails. So that gives you the opportunity to be mavdil between your flesh and your fingernails, or to see whether your nails need cleaning, filing, or cutting. And it's also, Richie?
Yeah,
also. Are you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Also a remez, again, to the first candle. Because the original tikkun of the Eitz Hadas was the tziporen was the last thing that was left over from the or of the Adam that was originally covered with keratin. Misha achal v'shachach v'lo birech. The guy forgets to bench. What happens? Beit Shammai says, let him go back and bench. Beit Hillel says in the Gemara, and if he doesn't use the Shabbos elevator, and now he was up on the 31st floor, are you telling me he's got to go all the way back up? 31 flights? To which Beit Shammai says, and if he left his wallet up there? We'll get to that. Beit Hillel Amrim Yevarech B'Mokam Sheniska. Bake the bracha wherever it is you remember. V'yat Matayim Yevarech, how long after you ate can you continue to say Birkat HaMazon? Ad Kedesh Shiyit Akel HaMazon Shebimei'ab. Until the food is digested. Bolehem Yayin Acher HaMazon. How about if you don't have enough wine to keep for Havdalah. So Balam Yain Le'achar HaMazon, you make Shama Lo'oto Kos, and all you have is one cup of wine. So Beit Shammai says, well, drink the wine. Drink the wine. Enjoy yourselves. Le'achar Kach Mevorech HaMazon. Beit Hillel Amrim, no. Keep the wine for Kosher Bracha. Mevorech HaMazon. Le'achar Kach Mevorech HaYain. And in general, when you hear someone make that bracha, you should only be one amen after Yisrael amavarech. Don't say amen after a kuti's bracha unless you hear the whole bracha, because you never know whether he said Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, or whether he said Baruch Ata Har HaGrizim, or whatever he had the Yonah on Har HaGrizim. So you better be careful not to say amen. Tana Rabbanan, Devarim Shebein Beit Shammai Beit Hillel B'Suda. Let's start at the beginning. Beit Shammai Omrim Mevorech Al Yom. Why is this? Because Hayom Gorem LeYayin Shiyavo. The reason that I brought this cup to the table is to make Kiddush. I didn't bring the cup stam. Don't usually have the cup here before I start eating. And therefore, does it make sense now to do it in the other way around, and to make it as if the cup is the issue over here? It's the day that's important. It's the only reason the wine is here. So say the bracha on the day, and then make the bracha on the yayin. Besides which, kvar kidei shayom, look, you were already chayev to say that kiddush, because it's the moment Shabbos was chal, it's time for kiddush. So what comes first? The chayev of kiddush. You didn't have the wine here yet. Yayin lo ba. So don't you think that you should first do the thing that you're chayav first. Your first chayav the kiddush. Make kiddush. You brought the wine later. Then make the birchas hayayin. Ubeit Hillel omrim. Beit Hillel says no. Mevorech al hayayin. Ve'achakach mevorech al hayom. Why? First of all, hayayin gorem lekiddush teyamer. Let's say you wouldn't have wine now, right? What would you do? You wouldn't be. You made kiddush already, basically, in your tefillah. So the whole idea over here is that you're being miyached, the new kiddush, to be able to say kiddush al hakos. Okay, so that's why you're making kiddush here. And furthermore, if you think about it, which bracha do you make more often? I mean, brachat hayayin tadira. Every time you bring wine, every time you have a drink of wine, you make a bracha on wine. Brachat hayomina tadira, whereas the kiddush can only happen on Shabbat, so the rule is tadir b'sheino tadir, tadir kodesh. Always do that which is comes about more often. Do that first. And that's how we paskin. Why did he have to throw in that dabar acher? I mean, what's... He already basically undid the reasoning of Beit Shammai. Well, the dabar acher is, you could say, mahatam tarti v'achachada. Notice, you could say, well, okay, that's very good, but Lamaisa, didn't Beit Shammai give two reasons for why he said that? You're only giving one reason. Beit Shammai spoke about the din of the yayin, the yom being the goreim, and the yom being there first. So even if you wanted to address one of them, you only have one reason. I got two. Therefore, I throw in the din of tadir v'sheino tadir, even though that's not something that had been brought up like by Beit Shammai. Now, when you say Amachik Divrei Beit Hillel, I thought, like, isn't that standard? You have to say that every time? I always say that. Amachik Divrei Beit Hillel. Isn't that Pshita? I mean, we said, from the time of the Batko, on Nafka Batko and Yavne, we had the Batko that said to Paschim like Beit Hillel. Well, first of all, the Mishnah, you don't know that the Mishnah was written, this psak that's going on in the Mishnah came in a Brisa, may have been before the Batko. Or it might be a psak that's going according to Rabbi Yoshua. Because even if it was La'achra Batko, maybe the psak was by Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua says, who pays attention to Batkos anyway? So just because a Batko says the halacha is like Beit Hillel, it's not going to sway our decision. And Mimela, according to him, you have to paskin like Beit Hillel if you want to paskin like Beit Hillel. And so he does. Now, gentlemen,
there are a few cases where that was
open. Yeah, we even just had the Akhriya to give a big shaman. Yes. Because we had so many in Yonim, I was miyache today for a brief review.